Welcome back to another episode of Faith on the Go podcast. This episode is from October 27th, 2024, Reformation Sunday. This Sunday, as a Lutheran, is a very special Sunday to us. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Our first reading is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The renewed covenant will not be breakable, but like the old covenant, it will expect the people to live upright lives. To know the Lord means that one will defend the cause of the poor and needy. The renewed covenant is possible only because the Lord will forgive iniquity and not remember sin. Our hope lies in a God who forgets. We read. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson comes from the letter to the Romans, chapter 3. Paul's words stand at the heart of the preaching of Martin Luther and other Reformation leaders. No human beings make themselves right with God through works of the law. We are brought into a right relationship with God through the divine activity centered in Christ's death. This act is a gift of grace that liberates us from sin and empowers our faith in Jesus Christ. We read. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. And I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this day, for the brightness of the autumn sunshine, for the beauty of your creation, but most of all for your love for this world and in our lives, for the word of truth that you share through your word made flesh, through your Son Jesus, who has shared our humanity, who gathers us together by the power of your Spirit to bear witness to a love that has no end. Gather us now in that same power. Gather your church for this time and for this place. Reveal to us the truth that sets us free. Empower us with courage to do the things that are difficult to do, to love one another as Jesus loves us, as Jesus loves the world. Raise us up to bear witness to that power in our lives and in our world today. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Let the church say, Amen. So I want to reflect on Jesus' words in that gospel reading for this Reformation Sunday, and the truth will make you free. And the truth will make you free. Amid many competing claims, vying for your allegiance, today's readings make the unwavering connection between knowing Jesus and knowing the truth. Between knowing Jesus and knowing the truth. The truth is much contested these days, often dependent on the loudest or the most compelling voices. An overwhelming array of communication tools at your disposal often can make it hard to tell the difference between the truth and a lie. And our human nature is such that even a lie, repeated long enough, can eventually start to seem true. Jesus made a further connection between knowing the truth and freedom. Knowing the truth and freedom. There are many things promising freedom that only conceal a pervasive desire to control your decisions, to control outcomes in our world. The freedom that Jesus described is different. It is less a matter of doing whatever you want and more about following his path of life and about realizing your unique calling within the household of God. This freedom looks more like loving your neighbor, even loving your enemy, as Jesus taught, practicing compassion, and following the example of Jesus himself. It doesn't hinge on purchasing anything or endorsing a particular position or membership in an exclusive group or alignment with a particular set of ideologies. It only depends on God's deep love for you and for this world. God's love for you and God's love for this world. Today we celebrate how this realization sparked a reformation in Jesus' church that began over 500 years ago and continues to this day, along with its impact on Ella Louise Bacon, who is affirming her baptismal promises today, together with all of this amazing, beloved community that we share. When Ella and her brother were little, they got to experience the special gift of community that's found uniquely in a congregation. I want to say that again. The special gift of community that's found uniquely in a congregation. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? There's something wonderful about this. And you know, I am really grateful that every year that I've been here, it's ebbed and flowed a little bit, but we've had children who are part of the community along with people who are in their 90s, pushing 100 in some cases, to be community together and to watch the ways that that unfolds. And as Ella and her parents met with me earlier this week, we shared some of her special memories of what it was like to be a child here in this congregation. So as we talked about coming up and sitting on the steps for children's sermons, I've got some good memories of those, and Ella was remembering that too. She was even kind of checking out the nursery and lamenting, oh, some of the toys that I really remember, my favorite toys, they've changed it around a little bit. You know, it's like you remember how things were. That was special. There were things that resonated and connected with her as a kid. But especially as we talked, we remembered the people. The people from many generations drawn here together by God's Spirit. Ella particularly remembered Walt and Lucille Becker, who faithfully taught a Sunday school class for several years and were examples of faithfulness to her across many generations, many decades of age difference. A congregation is a place where God gathers people together around the Word. Despite whatever might get in the way, to work through ordinary people to share something extraordinary and precious. This was perhaps unintentionally pointed out many years ago by Ella's brother, Braden. I've commented on this before, so forgive me if you've heard this story, but it's a great one. And a comment that he made at the end of worship one day. I was walking out to greet people at the end of the service and stopped to say hello. And he asked, as only a child can, "Are you God?" And it kind of took me aback. And I remember saying something really quickly about being God's helper. But Braden, your comment has struck with me over the years as a reminder of the sacred identity that we all share. The sacred identity that we all share and the ways that God shows up in community. The ways that God shows up in community. Where our imaginations tend to place God off, far off somewhere, sitting on a cloud maybe, you know, or on a throne or in a big palace or something like that, kind of far removed from life, maybe confined to some very carefully guarded categories or theological positions or things like that. The story of Jesus is all about God's showing up in our humanity, in the places where you would least expect it, and inviting you to partake of this wonderful gift of new life. Congregations are not places where everyone thinks the same, as if that were even possible. Amen, church? We got a lot of different personalities, you know, world experiences, positions on different kinds of things. We're different. We are all different. We don't think the same. And I wouldn't want that. I don't know what that would look like, but it kind of scares me a little bit, you know, to think about a congregation like that. People are unique, and congregations are not places where everyone thinks the same. But they are places where, in all of our diversity, you are invited to encounter God in each other. You're invited to encounter God in each other and to discover the power of sharing the mind of Christ together. Congregations are places where, as Jesus was bold to say in today's reading, you are able to experience the truth and the freedom that it bestows. This is not a matter of anyone's particular opinion or any coercive effort. Rather, it is the gift of God. It is God's gift to you, continually discovered in the face of Jesus, revealed in your neighbor, in your enemy, in the stranger, and yes, church, in yourself. God is showing up in these places and inviting you to see the face of Jesus. The freedom that Jesus bestows is grounded in love. And as the scriptures remind us, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Wherever fear would constrict your heart and establish enemies, Jesus invites you into the household of God, where the grip of those persistent forces is broken by grace, where you are no longer enslaved by their power, but rather are an heir. Sisters and brothers of Jesus, an heir to the love that sent him into the world, that sustained him in his suffering, and that raised him from death, and that raises you and gathers you in a great communion of saints. Ella, today's psalm that we read is a beautiful one. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that psalm reminded me of another important person in this community who has a connection with you, who was a bold and courageous witness to this love in her living and her dying. And I'm thinking of your Aunt Lynn. As she dealt with cancer, she wrote in her journal, the family shared with me her journal, and I was able to read the things that Lynn wrote there. She wrote about how God was her refuge and strength, her very present help in trouble, with the power to cast out fear, even in the face of death. Her story is part of Jesus' story, as is your story, as is every person's here. God in Jesus has come to share our story and to be revealed here in this place. It is your sharing in his death and resurrection as you remember your baptism, marked by water and the sign of the cross, baptized and set free. Ella, we're grateful for you, and we are excited to see where this journey will lead you, even as we all journey together in the truth and the freedom that Jesus bestows. Amen.